Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Your New England Patriots currently sit at 3-10 during the latest available bye week of the 2024 season. Rookie quarterback Drake May has started 8 games, and though he has been under fire and harried and hurried for the majority of his snaps in the NFL, looks to be a bright, young, shining star for a team that doesn't have many other positives going on for them right now. Your old pals Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart here on the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast figured it was a perfect time to bring in one of our absolute favorites so we could review how the season has gone thus far, the high points, the unfortunate many low points to the season. And now I'm hearing myself and somebody else's. There we go. That's gone now. There's Paul Perillo joining us from Patriots Unfiltered and Patriots.com. Where have we been? Where are we going? What's to like? What's to love? And how do we fix this mess?
Oh, you got Drake May.
All right. That'll do for the latest Six Rings and Football Things. Everybody take it.
Absolutely. So I have been, you know, just like everybody else, very impressed with May, right, and, you know, his poise. I think you described it right, Fitzy. He's been sort of harried and hounded, you know, throughout most of his starts. The offensive line has been obviously a work in progress, and yet he's still been able to generate a semblance of a passing game. It hasn't been perfect, and we've talked a lot about the turnovers, and really for the amount of time that they moved the ball, like this pass game against Indianapolis, I thought was probably their best offensive game overall, but they still don't score enough points. They're bogging down in the red zone. They're not finishing off drives. So a lot to like about Drake May. They need some help. I mean, I'm just like everybody else here. Right? They need some receivers. They need some offensive linemen. And we haven't even touched the other side of the ball, which needs plenty as well.
That's a lot of needs heading towards the offseason. So I'm going to start there because we'll circle on. We'll get lots of minutia. I agree with you. I think everybody agrees with you. They have an elite young quarterback, an elite young cornerback, and then 51 other roster spots to fill out.
We've got a super good player you can build around on each side of the ball,
and which at the most important positions, which is fun. But my question to you is, putting you on the spot here, because I know you're compromised. I've heard it on the internets, your compromised source on the Patriots, because you're literally sitting in Gillette Stadium doing this interview with us right now. So Gerard Mayo could bust in at any time and punch you in the mouth. But he's not the one I'm asking about. I'm actually fine with Gerard Mayo. I think you got what you should have expected, a young, inexperienced coach who was going to make some mistakes and learn on the fly. The guy I'm most concerned about is the guy that's most important in the organization, in my opinion. His name is Elliot Wolf. If I was with Rich Keefe, he would play the old NWO Wolfpack drop right now. He's going to have to pick in the top five again. He's going to have to pick in the top five in every round, which last year, after the first round, was not great at all in terms of return on investment. He's going to pick players to spend, I don't know, $140 million in cap space on. Where is your confidence level in Elliot Wolf to undertake what I believe, and I keep describing it as this, the latest, most important offseason in Patriots history?
Yeah, no, I know, because I remember at this time last year, everybody was saying this, the same words. Yeah, I would say cautiously optimistic. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to just ignore the fact that Wolf is new as well. You know, everybody's like, well, Gerard Mayo, you know, you knew there would be some bumps in the road. And I agree with all of that. But I want to afford all of these guys the same luxury, the same learning curve. And I don't think the draft was great last year. And I don't think that the free agent approach was great last year. Not just all the guys they re-signed, but the guys that they acquired, I don't think necessarily addressed specific needs, you know, specifically the offensive line. I think what was
negligible here anymore.
Right. So I do think that he comes from good stock, obviously, you know, learning from his father, I think, who did it at a very high level in this league for a long time. I want to give him a little bit more time to see if that was just what we can expect, because I like a lot of the things that he says and a lot of things that he stands for about being a draft and development team.
Yes.
That's great to say. We got to start to see it too. And Andy's right. You know, after May, there's probably not one draft pick that anybody feels really good about.
No.
It's one thing to draft them and try to develop them. It's another thing if you didn't get the requisite talent. So I don't think he's going anywhere either. I think he'll get a chance to fix it. There's been rumblings about everybody, right? Mayo, Covington, Van right. Pelt, Wolf. These guys have all been sort of periodically in the news. But I think the best thing for probably that you have to hope for if you're a Patriots fan is stay the course and improve.
Yeah. Now, see, that stay the course and improve, do you mean as in over the final four games, don't do anything crazy, don't tinker? Like, it's not broke, so don't fix it, because obviously there's a lot that isn't working right now. However, when your rookie quarterback is first in rushing yards, first in rush EPA, second in rush efficiency, every stat as that pertains to him having to break out of the system is great. However, when he's functioning in the system, it's not as great, except for his accuracy. Do you want to see them try anything different for Drake May down the stretch, or just keep him on that track right now safely and then finesse elements around him?
So the two separate things. First, I'll just say, when I said that, you know, stay the course and improve, I sort of meant in the off season. I don't think that you want to be one of those organizations that's making widespread, you know, drastic changes after 1 year.
Yeah.
So when I say stay the course, you know, Mayo stays, Elliot Wolf stays, these two work together and you figure out what the best course of action is for the offseason. And you have to hope that you do better than you did in your first go around. That's what I meant by stay the course and improve. To answer your second question about the last four games, I'm like everybody else. I want to see some young guys continue to get opportunities. They've done that, and most of them haven't really taken advantage of it. You know, Jalen Polk has struggled. Javon Baker can't even get regular snaps because the coaches keep talking about how he can't do it in practice. So that's frustrating. But I like to see a continuation. I like, even though Laydon Robinson, I don't think played great at left guard last week, I think that's a good move. You know, move him in there and have him man one of those spots for the last four games. That would be the last five games, and see what you have. Hopefully Caden Wallace can get off of IR and you can get Caden out at right tackle and see what he can do. Those are the kinds of things I like to see in the last four games. In terms of style for Drake May, I just think you gotta, in order to make drastic changes, you're gonna have to improve your talent around him, and they don't have those horses right now.
Yeah, and Andy, I just wanted to say real quick, Paul, I agree. It's been a bit of a hot point topic. I'm sure I know on your show it has, Andy, as well as on the post game show. The whole like fire Mayo, fire AVP, get rid of Covington. Like, the one thing I think you risk is screwing up the development of Drake May by giving this kid a third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and by just telling everybody like, hey, every job is up for grabs on this team. Like, there'll be no, like, Andy, do you think continuity and symmetry are important enough that you should stick with Paul's plan there and give all these guys a second chance at this, given the lack of talent?
Within reason, yes. Because I think the only thing worse than switching offensive coordinators after your first year is switching after your second. Now you've wasted 2 years. So if you believe legitimately there's a chance that the guy is the right guy, and even if it's not going great or you have some reservations, I think you stick with it. You err on the side of sticking with him. But if you just flat out say, I've seen enough, this isn't, no, I don't covet continuity above all else. Now, I was actually going to go there, Paul. I hated the Alex Van Pelt hire. I was borderline disrespectful on the radio when the day it happened.
You? With Rich Keefe.
Yeah, I actually felt bad. You know me, I don't feel bad often. I felt bad at how negative I was.
You experienced remorse?
A little bit of remorse.
What was it like?
You know, I think what happened was when I then met Alex Van Pelt in that little getting to know coaches session and like shook his hand and he's like in his dad jeans, just the nicest guy ever, standing there with his hands in his pocket. I was like, why did I shred this guy on the radio 3 months ago? But I actually have seen enough that I would keep him. I don't think it's been a debacle because everything that Drake May deals with, Alex Van Pelt deals with, a crappy O-line, crappy wide receivers, like right. that's on him. Now, do I think it's been perfect? No. I hated the post-Gonzalez run pass. Like, clearly he doesn't come from the school of, like, change of possession is an opportunity for a shot play and let's put our foot on their throat and turn a one score into a deuce. Like, I know he errs on the side of caution at all times, it feels like. And I do think a lot of it's him because I think he erred on the side of caution playing the quarterback. Now how the quarterback plays and how the offense play, all of it, I think that's on him. But are you with me that you, like, I feel like he's evolved as much as anyone, in large part probably because Drake May stepped on the field and he's got a stud quarterback to work with now. But even a little thing, it was stupid, but I loved the Marcus Jones play, inside fake zone read pitch, and I loved the Jacoby Brissett. Oh, he's great at QB sneak. Like, to me, those are little teeny subtle things that I think if it's Andy Reid, we blow him and we talk about how good he is. And like, I think Alex Van Pelt has shown some signs of evolving creativity that I like. So I just, the Alex Van Pelt evolution this year, how do you feel about him?
Yeah, I would echo pretty much everything you said. And the way I've been talking about it is I give the most credit for Drake May and his development to Drake May. I think he's immensely skilled. And I give him the lion's share of the credit for that. But I don't care how much you like, dislike, or are indifferent toward Alex Van Pelt. You have to give him at least some credit for how much he's improved since when we saw him back in May in OTAs to when he got his first start, and he continues to show signs of improvement. I think there's little things that he does every week that are a little bit better than the previous game. So yep. I think Van Pelt has done a really nice job with him, as Andy said, with all the same limitations. And I would agree about the Colts game. There were things from a creativity standpoint that we hadn't seen. And I think those are great signs. And I do agree with Andy. If anybody is earned based on their performance, if anybody in this organization has earned another shot, it would be Van Pelt, yet he seems to come out of the most fire. I'm not talking about individual play calls here and there, because there's nobody in Boston that used to criticize Josh McDaniels more for individual play calls than I did. So, Andy, just as a quick example, the hurry up and fail.
Yes.
They get like a 23-yard pass down to the two. So we're not going to huddle up or anything and just get our power package in the game. We're going to hurry to the line and just try to run it in so we can lose 2 yards and set up second.
Oh, my God, Paul. I hated when they used to
hurry
do that.
Hurry up and fail was what I used to call it. So, and I thought Josh was a really good offensive coordinator.
He was.
And I didn't agree with all his play calls. I would say the same thing right now for Van Pelt. I think he's done a really nice job. I don't want to, you know, not making him one of those tight pants guys that everybody loves, but I think he's done a nice job with not a whole lot around him to work with, and I got to give him at least some of the credit for me.
The tracksuit contingency of like Kingsbury and McDaniel and Shanahan and McVay, all the tight pants guys.
Yeah.
We don't use that reference. I feel like that's a reference that's tied into a different show in the afternoon. So,
well, I mean, Andy,
well, they also,
I appear on a lot of shows, Andy. I'm in high demand.
You're a whore.
Wow. All right.
Man. I'm not a very good one because I don't think I make much for this one.
Oh, so you're a slut.
So he's gone from blow to whore to slut over the course of a minute and a half. You're right on brand this morning, Hart. Great work. I'm with you. Look, you know, Van Pelt's system isn't my favorite system by any stretch. However, I think he's doing a good my chief concern all along was help Drake May evolve and improve over the course of the season. And I'll put you on the plus side of the columns as opposed to the negative. And then, yeah, he's making some strides and growing as a coordinator. Cause again, he's only done it at the side of Stefanski and others, never as on his own, let alone being referred to by Mayo as the head coach of the offense, almost like he's operating with full autonomy over there. So he's improving. However, this has been a big talking point. I'm sure you guys have been hit up with this on Patriots Unfiltered as well, Paul. The whole idea that now Covington is coming from having been at Belichick's side for a few years, working with Mayo, working with other Belichicks. I know there have been injuries galore. Juwan Bentley can't have been that important to the defense, or could he have been? Why do you think, save for the injuries, the Patriots defense has regressed the way that it has this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the injuries were definitely a factor. You played a lot of the season without Barmore, Peppers, and Bentley, and I think those are three important players. But I also don't think the defense was as good as it looked on paper last year. I think that they played a lot of backup quarterbacks. They had some bad weather games late in the year. Those knock numbers down. And it's one of the things that kind of bugs me, you know, because we still get, you know, I call it the Bluminati. You know, those guys still come out and they say, well, if Belichick was coaching this team, they'd have at least four more wins. And I was like, well, you know what? I saw Belichick coach this team last year in very similar game. Like, you know, people talk about the Miami game as an example, the first Miami game, mm-hmm. you know, with the backup quarterback. Oh, you mean like the Giants game when they lost to the backup quarterback, 10-7, 15-10? Is there really a difference? Like, that's the game that they lost constantly last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think the defense was all that great. I think the defense faced a lot of offenses that weren't at full strength, much like how did the defense look in the first Miami game this year compared to the second Miami game this year? Was it a little different in those two games?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it was. Just like if, you know, they had to play all the teams that they had to face last year with their quarterbacks, it might have looked different in those games as well. So I don't think that they regressed as much as people think.
So we've kind of praised Alex Van Pelt. I think we all believe Mayo is staying. You said Wolf. People are saying, I am saying, it feels like it's tough to go through a three-win season, which, if we're being honest, looks like this could be a three-win season based on the final four games, with no changes. Even Gerard Mayo, remember his introductory press conference with his staff, said, this probably won't be my staff next year. You change things. You don't get it all right the first time. So,
by the way, way to ingratiate yourself.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird. And believe me, I know about new jobs and very little support. I am the poster boy for new jobs with very little support as host two on the afternoon show on WEEI. Is that Scott Peters? I've actually heard, you know, Curran and Phil have thrown around Tyler Hughes, the wide receiver coach, a lot, which leads me to believe if I were him, I'd rent, not buy, in terms of property.
Yeah.
Who do you think could be, I don't want to say the scapegoat, but just guys that may not be back in their current roles next year?
So there's going to be changes.
Speculate on fellow employees' job status, please.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to speculate specifically, but like you talked about Tyler Hughes, and you know, I just watched the wide receivers, and he's like all the rest of the stuff we're talking about. He's not dealing with a whole lot of talent either. But
and worse yet, he's dealing with attitude. No talent and attitude. I hate that group.
I'm teetering on wanting them to flush the whole damn room with this.
And absolutely. I would say error repeaters as well. Why does he keep going in and out?
Why do you keep going? What's wrong with your Wi-Fi, Hart?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My microphone. It says unable to access microphone.
Yeah, I think your computer mic is coming through, but that's okay. That's just
a loose connection.
Yeah, you've had one for 45 years now.
There have been too many examples with the wide receivers in the same spot. You know, even that touchdown, one of the best plays of the season, the touchdown to Austin Hooper, you know, and Polk is like right behind him. I'm not sure it's designed that way.
Oh, and yeah, and Paul also too. I'm sure you've seen these, and they've been, you know, probably debated and gone over a million times from Lazar and Deuce and company. But like some of the screenshots that came out of the game last Sunday, there were like three receivers at a time bunched into all these different spots.
Oh yeah, the middle of the field. The goal line. Hey, let's all stand in the middle of the field.
I mean, you wonder why you're having red zone issues, and that's the routes they're running.
Right.
And but
so is that is that a talent issue? Is that an OC issue or a combination therein?
I think it might be, you know, like I said, you have to look at the coaching as to why they're continuing to do the same things over and over again. Does it take talent to understand where you're supposed to be? Like, I understand if you can't make the catch because you're not good enough, or you're not creating separation because you're not good enough. But I think you should be able to line up properly and run the route the way it's supposed to be run. And I don't think that they do that. Even Kendrick Bourne talked about like two games ago, like a key fourth down play. He felt like he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was disappointed in himself. So, and he's the one veteran of the group. And they just can't seem to get it. They can't seem to get it straightened out. So to answer your question, Andy, I'm not calling for anyone's job, but like there's going to be changes because they're not well coached enough for all these guys to feel safe.
Andrew, is your microphone working now?
I don't know. I was going to wait for you to tell me.
There you go. Sounds good.
Okay. I agree with you. And again, I'm not one to call people out, but you know, you look at the offensive line. I don't know if Scott Peters can or can't coach. He's got chicken, you know what to work with. But it is infuriating, similar to the wide receivers. It doesn't take any talent to line up and know the snap count. And they've struggled to line up and know the snap count for the bulk of the season. People thought I was weird because the growth of the holding penalties, I thought was a good thing. At least that's a talent issue where you're not good enough. Generally, you get beat, you hold. Well, that's an advancement to me. We lined up and we knew the snap count, and then we got to the point where we could actually hold. So good job, boys. We're getting better. We're taking a step forward.
Baby steps.
Got to crawl, agree. Walk.
I agree.
And it's weird.
You want to take it a step further. Adrian Hill was the referee in that game last week, and he's known for holding calls. Well, I just know because they had him earlier in the year, the Miami game, and it was the same thing. It was a hold fest. That's what he does. Some weeks you're going to get away with half of those holds that you had. So I would much rather have a mistake of, you know, getting beat physically than mentally.
So in your mind, if we were going to start, because this is where everybody's going, we've been talking about the draft for a while, obviously, top five pick. You're at four right now. And then our guy, Paul, Dane Brugler, I don't know if you read him yesterday.
But I'm aware of it.
A bit alarming in his assessment of the draft, the most polarizing draft in his 20-plus years covering the draft because really there's no good quarterbacks, really there's no good talent.
Correct.
He quoted one AFC source saying Travis Hunter is the only guy that would go in the top 10 of last year's draft, maybe any draft or most drafts. And there you sit with a number four pick, three pick, whatever it is going to be. How limiting, I guess, is that? Like, you can pencil in Will Campbell and just say, damn it, I have a need. I'm taking a tackle. Will Campbell's the closest thing to a tackle. But like, how much of a obstacle or challenge do you think that is for Elliott Wolf? People like us that say they need blue chippers in a draft where there might not be any blue chippers.
Yeah, I think it's significant. And doesn't it stand to reason? If there's no high-end talent, then that trickles all the way down. So that means guys that are taken in the top 10 are guys that would have been maybe at the bottom half of the first round last year.
Right.
And that means the second round picks are really like kind of late second round or third round picks. So I think it goes all the way down with the talent. Now, I'm sure there'll be a number of good players that come out of this draft because every draft has Pro Bowl players and whatnot. But high-end talent is what they're lacking, and I don't know if there is enough of it. And the other part of that is, you're kind of looking at the tackle market. I don't know if it's going to be wide receiver, tackle, or whoever. You might want to trade down if you don't think Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks is worth, you know, a top five pick. There's no quarterbacks to entice people to trade up.
Right.
The alarming part.
Right. If you're the Giants, as an example, maybe you take Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward if he's available at three when you pick or whatever. But are you going to go from 8 to 3 for Shedeur Sanders? I don't think you will. And quarterbacks are generally what drive the big price tags to move up. You're not going to mortgage the future to move up and draft, you know, a wide receiver who may or may not be the real deal. Maybe, you know, Travis Hunter is the only guy in this draft worth moving up for.
Right.
You know, according to that.
Yeah. You know, and hearing that from Dane Brugler, Andy, kind of just works in lockstep with the product we've been watching in college football this year as well. Like, there is no dominant elite team, or so it feels. I know Oregon is undefeated at the top of the heap before we get into this new 12-team scrum of a playoff. But you can't say, like, there's any one team that just, like, absolutely trucks other teams in terms of talent, scheme, and whatnot as well. And, yeah, it is alarming that the Patriots go in with all these draft picks and all this money, and it's like, how's the free agent crop? Kind of shitty. How's the draft? Pretty meh. Great. Like, we need that. Then that makes me think, Paul, that no matter, like, somebody once told me, like, the Patriots would just be better off if they would just turn on Yahoo auto draft and stop overthinking the drafts and just take best available, best available, best available whenever possible, as opposed to getting too clever by a margin or a fifth. And get after need. And so when you get into free agency, sure, you need T. Higgins, but who says you can't just replace some of your guards? If guard is the best position available in free agency, let's say, go out there and just buy some dominant line and move some guys, dump them, trade them, whatever you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I like the theory, but I also think that it does provide you an opportunity in the draft, because you're right, that they can get the best, literally the best player. Mm-hmm. Is the only position that they wouldn't, that to me would be off the table in the first round, is quarterback. I mean, I think they literally could take anything else if they thought that player was markedly better than any other position. So I know it's weird to say, but that's kind of a silver lining of being in the position that they're in. They don't have to get locked into a tackle. If, you know, I think Dane wrote about Will Campbell saying he should be an immediate starter at tackle, guard, or even center.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a top five tackle who may not be a tackle. Like, and I understand if he's really good, then what do you care? But, like, that's not what I'm looking for.
Well, and even more so, if you think Laydon Robinson might be a starting guard, and Mike Onwenu sure as hell better be a starting guard for $50 million, you don't even really have a spot for Will Campbell. And who knows, maybe Cole Strange a starting center by the end of the season if he gets out there. You know, we always talk about you can't draft for need. And you and I, Paul, have talked a lot about this. The hell you can't. You have to draft for need. Bill Belichick drafted for need almost every time he ever made
all
a pick. And this team, now, fortunately, this team has a lot of needs. You could argue pretty much anything other than quarterback. Yes, you could use a first-round pick on that guy and have a spot for him to play. But it is – do you think there is going to be disappointment this offseason? And I say that not necessarily about – like some of this stuff we're talking about, I think everybody, I'm a big believer, A, they have to spend money at some point to get up to the 3-year average, but right. B, they have the money, they have the needs. I think they had sort of a 2-year plan of re-sign our culture guys, keep that flat, and then the next year. But as Fitzy noted, other than T. Higgins, what am I getting excited about? And what if T. Higgins says, I'm going to the Chargers, or I'm
right,
going to the
wide receiver you're talking about, or just in general?
Just in general. There's not a – like.
So I'll tell you, I think there's a decent crop of, like, cornerbacks, because I think they badly need a corner. I mean, absolutely. Obviously they have Gonzalez, and he's rock solid as the lead guy. But I think number two corner is a humongous need for this team. The secondary's been terrible. You have one of the best young cornerbacks in football, and you can't defend a pass.
Right.
So they need help, I think, at corner. I think Carlton Davis is one guy, a veteran guy that's on that list. There's a handful of guys that I think you can make a run at and probably get a good player.
But nobody is going to get excited about that.
No, no, no. But I'm just saying this is all part, like you said, they have a, like $140 million to spend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wide receiver is going to be hard to do it because you like I think T. Higgins is far and away the most impressive guy that's going to be available. Amari Cooper, if he doesn't get re-signed in Buffalo, I'd be interested in him too, but a little older. Mm-hmm. So T. Higgins is going to get a ton of attention on the market.
Yeah.
So now you got to win a bidding war, and you have the money to do it. So that would be something that fans could get excited about.
But if they don't get him, my point is like they can get some. They can make their roster better with a veteran corner here, a complimentary pass rusher there, a quality starting lineman who you've never really heard of, but you just found out he has started for like 7 straight years somewhere. Like they can get those guys. But I feel like the expectation, and I'm part of this, because I think if they hit this offseason, they have every opportunity with Drake May to be competing for a 500 record next year. And if you compete for a 500 record, you're competing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We had this talk on Patriots Unfiltered yesterday. It doesn't have to
you
be
and
this
I positive.
You this and I three, it doesn't have to be a 3-year process. But it's not easy. It's not as easy as a lot of our callers will call in and say, well, you sign T. Higgins, you sign Garrett Bowles, you sign an edge rusher, and all of a sudden those are like 3 enormous pieces. Now you got to hit on the tackle in the draft and find another wide receiver. They need 2 wide receivers, 2 tackles, a cornerback, an edge rusher, at least 1 linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You need at least half of that to be what Andy's talking about next year.
That's what about the crazy addition to the Andy Hart plan? I've ebbed and flowed with the Andy Hart plan over the course of months. It's a good plan.
Several.
It's always good when I say it.
Sure.
What about so we're talking about how your top pick could be very much devalued. Like there's no blue chippers. Crazy? Is this crazy? You trade your top pick for Micah Parsons and give him a contract extension.
Oh, no. I don't think that would be crazy.
I mean, you're trading a top 4 pick and having to hand a guy $100 million.
Yeah, but
he's elite. Of course, I would do that in a heartbeat.
You have an elite established player that's going to be better than anybody you're going to get in the draft. So why not do that? Why not do that? I'm with you.
I think you're going to have to do that. Elliot Wolf, I don't think this offseason is going to be as simple as, well, I have a high draft pick. I'm going to draft a player high. I have a lot of money. I'm just going to be able to sign whoever's out there. I think there's going to have to be some creativity there. And we've seen trades in the NFL in recent years. Plenty of, I would say, impactful trades.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid. Originally, I was hoping you could do that for Ja'Marr Chase. But I don't think the Bengals are dumb enough to let Ja'Marr Chase go. I think
Joe Burrow will drive his Batmobile into Paul Brown's office.
If they were going to do that, then they would have done more to try to appease Higgins.
Right. So, but
really, they decided we're going to let Higgins go because we're going to re-up Chase.
I think that needs to be an option on the table, is maybe trade that pick that isn't as valuable as it might normally be in that spot. And again, you still have, if the draft is, because I don't know if you've also seen, Paul, because the lack of blue chippers, we're starting to get the guy who goes 5th might be the same as the guy who goes 25th kind of thing, viewpoint of the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're still going to have the 3rd pick in the 2nd round, and you can trade up for a tackle or do whatever after you give away your 1st round pick.
That's where the tackle run was last April as well.
I always like those talk. We get those in the draft all the time. Yeah,
all the time.
People always say the 25th guy is the same as the 5th guy, but no one ever says, like, well, the 5th guy is the same as the 25th guy.
Right.
You're not – like, they make it out to be the 25th guy is as good as number 5 while not saying the number 5 guy is not worthy of being number 5.
Right.
He's worthy of being 25.
Right.
So, it all depends on how you look at it.
I like it. So we're in agreement?
I think that they can make some creative moves – and figure that, and I'm not in love with all the different guys, but like there's been major wide receivers that have been moving over the last, say, 3 years. Like, is DK Metcalf one of those guys?
I would jump all over DK Metcalf, and
he would jump over you and do a cartwheel while doing it.
If he got $35 million a year on a 5-year deal with $80 million guaranteed, and it cost the Patriots, what would it cost them their one?
I don't know. Maybe.
Would you do the one for him? I don't know if I would.
I don't know if I would do a one for him. Maybe it's a two, but because you got to give him the contract too.
If I can trade the two for him and the one for Micah Parsons and call that an offseason, I'm feeling like I've taken some steps forward.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, if you can figure out a way to make some creative trades to bolster, because I do think there's always some players available in free agency. You just have to find the right ones.
Right.
Last year, I don't think they really explored the unrestricted free agent market. I mean, there's Antonio Gibson, Chukwuma Okorafor, Sione Takitaki. Who am I missing? Like, they really didn't go outside the organization to bring anybody.
Hooper.
And Austin Hooper.
Hooper has turned into one of the guys that on my welcome back or hit the road jack list. I would absolutely bring Hooper back at least another go round. He's proved to have some. He's sure, the best he's looked in like 5 years. Some nice chemistry with me.
But one of those veteran tackles, can you lure one of those guys like a Ronnie Stanley or a Garrett Bowles? And I would rather have Bowles because I think Stanley's kind of banged up and
absolutely.
But
I'd be stunned if Denver lets Bowles go.
I agree. Yeah. But you never know.
You got to be ready to pounce and maybe do a little tampering and tell them there's a lot of money out there.
Yeah, I'd be ready.
And a new training facility, Paul.
Well, but not until 2026.
Can I ask a quick question since you're in the building and you know all these things, and I'm sure you'll speak very openly about something that they promoted via press release in Patriots.com yesterday, if you don't believe it. So they're still going to use the locker room they have now?
I don't know exactly what all the ins and outs.
No, you're full of crap. You lion sack.
I don't.
What? Easy.
I think they're going to be
nice enough to provide his time for us.
The new facility, I think, is going to allow them in training camp to go right from there to the practice field.
So there is a locker room in there.
I that's my understanding.
Okay.
I know there was a time that my office was going to be in that, but I do not believe that will be the case anymore.
Why would they put you in the football building?
They were going to put the studios over there, so the players wouldn't have to come over here to go in the studio.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Keep your friends close and Paul Perillo closer.
All right, and the Diet Pepsi.
I get a hello every week now, right outside my door. Yeah. I get all kinds of hellos.
It's a kinder, gentler, brighter, shinier Paul Perillo.
You're losing
and kind enough to join us today on Six Rings and Football. Thanks, Paul. Let's get you out of here with a little two pronger.
Right.
You're minus Drake May.
Shocker.
My God, Hart. We're listed under the clean pot.
One in the blank and two in the blank.
Jesus.
I said blank. The problem is, Paul, since he's been promoted to host number two in the afternoons, this has become his NSFW playground.
It's so true.
Go back. It is. Yeah, you do. You treat this
he
like
nailed it.
You treat this like
anything.
A toilet.
I said piss the other day, and Ken's like, oh, you can't say piss.
You treat this like a toilet at a guest house at a party or something. You're happy to drop an upper decker and then walk out with a cup of eggnog.
I'm Wes Welker with the upper decker.
Honest to God. Clean up aisle Fitzy. Anyway, Paul Perillo, the proper, appropriate, and well-behaved of the two guests. You're not a guest. Well, you kind of are now on your own podcast.
Like an America's guest.
Okay. So, Paul, the biggest surprise, the most pleasant surprise, not named Drake May thus far in the season, who may be part of the solution, not the problem going forward, and the biggest disappointment, who you thought may have actually been around for a while and may actually have to hit the road.
Yeah, I don't know about hitting the road, but I can, I guess I go back to my roots, Andy. The second part is easier for me to answer. The most disappointing is Jalen Polk. I did think in training camp that he was – I didn't think he was going to be this superstar that a lot of our fellow colleagues were sort of painting a picture of, but I thought he'd be a rock solid rookie with, say 40 or 50 catches, a lot of them coming on third downs to move the chains. Mm-hmm. Has it been that? I'm not saying that he needs to hit the road, but sure. I don't have a lot of confidence based on what I've seen through 13 games. Biggest surprise, surprise contributor. They've all been really minor. Guys have fit in, Alex Austin, I thought, played pretty well the other day at corner, even though he had a penalty on the final drive. I thought for the most part, he played pretty well. I think, role players like Jaquelin Roy. I mean, who knew him? He's kind of shown up for me. Keon White has been a little bit better than I thought he was overall. I know his production in terms of sacks has really dropped off, but I think he generally shows up every week and makes some noticeable plays, but I'm stretching. I mean, I don't really have a lot here.
It can't be like I got Kyle Duggar has been a massive disappointment. I know he's been injured, and that ankle injury has probably hampered his play as well. He's been a major for somebody who's getting $14.5 million to play football. He's not holding up the back end as well. You know, the Hawkinses and the Pettises, the Petti, if you will, have been just as good, and they're making nothing. A Christian Ellis is a pleasant surprise. I don't know if he's a significant part of the solution going forward. I'm with you on Jaquel and Roy. He's been good. The fact that there's nobody on offense for us to say, like, how about that guy? Like, there is literally no nicey guy on the entirety of the offense. Which
no, because the two tight ends, I think people figured they would be contributors. And Henry's been really good. And Hooper has been a good complimentary piece. But I think that's what people expected.
I would, for me personally, I would throw Joey Sly in the mix. I think he's been pretty good. I mean, he was out there trying to attempt a record field goal in 30-degree weather. Made me think there was a chance it was going to be good. So I thought,
Because he fooled you doesn't mean, you know.
I thought there was a chance you'd be multiple kickers this year after that battle I saw in the summer, and he's your kicker. So
I'm just going to let you know he's knock, knock, knocking on the door of having the same amount of missed kicks as Ryland did last year.
Yeah, but I thought he'd be gone already.
Is he really?
I thought very little of him.
He's missed 7 kicks. I think Ryland missed 10 last year.
He's missed 6 then.
Yeah, you don't
count the 68-yarder in the freaking 38.
Although Ryland's kicks last year at the time were more some of his misses were more painful, but though in the end they helped us get Drake May, so that's why upon him in a heroic light.
He's a blessing in disguise, Chad.
I think he missed only 25-yarders.
No, that's fair. That's a fair point.
That was all an
right,
and
last one. All right, listen, order in the court for Pete's sake. All right, our last one, boys. We talked about it briefly on in the beginning, but let's wrap on this. Like
it's a sweet visor, huh?
A best case scenario for how the final four games go, not just like upsetting Buffalo. Yes, everyone loves your Boise State visor, Andy. Thank you. Tell me,
this isn't a sweet visor.
It's a neat visor, Andy.
Not really.
It even says it right up here.
Okay, it's fine. Okay,
sweet.
Yes, wonderful. Did Kellen Moore give that to you? Was that did Jared Zabrinsky give that to you as well? Did you get that for calling the Statue of Liberty in the Citrus Bowl? Come on, Fiesta Bowl. So best case scenario for the final four games, aside from keeping Drake May upright.
So I would say best case scenario. So this is like, this can be fantasy land.
Yeah.
You rip off 4 wins.
Wait,
and
what?
It's like 1993. And all of a sudden you have a much different feel of absolutely everything. Drake May's the guy, he's lighting it up. And all of a sudden you have an off season where the 93 team went 1-11 and won the last 4. And I'm telling you, being part of that, I was a season ticket holder at the time. People could not wait until the start of the 94 season when they ended up going 10-6, making the playoffs. And here we go. 2 years later, they were in the Super Bowl. That would be the best case scenario. I think it's highly unrealistic. But to me, it's just all about continuing to find Drake May improving. And is it too much to ask somebody, anybody out of those 4 young receivers? You have 2 rookies and 2 second year guys. Can one of these guys like just sort of emerge as that's a legitimate player? We have 1 receiver. Is that asking too much?
No, I think that's actually, I'm on
to lose 55-54 in every one of those games.
You see, that's all everyone who's watching live on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY social says. Lose 4 out of 4.
Get the hell out of here, Milton.
4 losses.
But you can't spend 35 minutes telling me how bad the draft is and then say, I don't want to pick 8th. I want to pick 4th.
No, I always want to pick
8th. I don't give a flying S about the draft. Really, like, you're going to draft.
You don't have any players.
If you don't care about the draft, why do you want to lose?
I don't want to. I want them to win. I want to see the exact same thing. I was so excited when you just said, give me that excitement that'll make you look forward to next July, next August. And actually, Javon Baker catches a touchdown and Jalen Polk shakes off his dropsies, gets out of his field, stops thinking, starts playing, and maybe 1 or 2 other like helpers for the 2025 season and beyond emerge. I couldn't ask for anything else.
Yeah. I agree with the story, just not the results. I want the feel good. I want Drake May to throw an 80-yard touchdown to Baker 1 week, then an 80-yard touchdown to Douglas, 80 yards to Polk, the whole thing. Just lose like that Rams-Chiefs game a couple of years ago, 55-54 or whatever the hell the score was in that.
That was a hell of a Monday night. Hey, by the way, that season ended with the Patriots winning a Super Bowl. They're not going to do that this year, though.
This year?
No.
We're not going to do that.
No.
We named our podcast accurately. Six rings.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and it's always a pleasure when we have Andy's master and apprentice, Paul Perillo from Patriots Unfiltered and Patriots.com and many other fabulous outlets joining us here on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. You got a joyous holiday season approaching, Paul? Any travel, anything fun for the...
No travel. Looking forward to the bye week this week. And yeah, always Christmas is by far the best time of year. So looking forward to it.
It's a shorter heart season, if you will, with a late Thanksgiving into Christmas. But these 4 weeks are always magical. Everyone, it's a stress-free weekend for Patriots Nation as well, which is what makes it a great time to reflect and review, which is what we did here today on Six Rings. You can follow Andy at Jumbo Heart. Paul is at PFW Paul, and I am ready to wrap this up. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's always a pleasure talking to you on Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Take care. Happy holidays. Good day. God bless. Chances are Andy is left. The Six Rings and Three Wins podcast. All right. We'll leave you on that one. Thank you, Wayne Felch, and good night, everybody.